right. On Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, we learned in the Mishnah that there are three Kohanim that could release a person from his exile. Person sent into exile if he kills Beshogeg. That's the topic of the second parak of Makos. And there are three different Kohanim. There's a Kohen who is Mashuch Meshena Mishcha, a Kohen who is anointed with the oil, with the special anointing oil. There was a Kohen Meruba Begadim, Kohen who got extra, who wore extra clothing. That was talking about a time. I was talking about a time when the Shemna Mishcha was hidden. And then there's a Kohen who is Avrami Mishicha So, who spent a little bit of time serving as a Kohen Gadol, but then was stepped down. In other words, he was a substitute. He filled in for one Yom Kippur to be the Kohen Gadol, and then he had to step down. And that's another Kohen Gadol. The death of any of these Kohanim, Kohen Gadols, is going to release him from his exile. Rav Yehuda adds a fourth. He adds the Kohen Neshama that is Mishuch B'Mechama, that is the one who is the head Kohen of the army. We don't possibly like Rav Yehuda. We don't include him as well. We are on the bottom of the Amud, and we're going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, and then we're going to come back to discuss exiles. We talked about yesterday curses that aren't intended are were on condition, and certain curses, it doesn't matter, are not to be taken in vain, even though the pasuk says in Mishle, right? Where's that pasuk in Mishle? Kitzipor lanud kederach la'of kein kilas chenam. Thank you. Right, the kilas chenam, a curse that comes for free, basically is like a flying bird. You don't have to worry about it whatsoever. The Gemara qualifies, and the Gemara says it depends. If it comes from a Talmud Chacham, there's no reason why the curse should exist, but nevertheless, it's going to exist even if it comes from a Talmud Chacham. The example that we gave yesterday was the example of David and Achitophel. Right, the waters were coming up, flooding Yerushalayim. David wanted to know a halacha. He turns to Achitophel. He says, "Can you tell me the halacha?" Achitophel says, "No." David says, "If you don't tell me the halacha, I'm going to curse you." And then Achitophel tells him the halacha, and the curse still was true. And Achitophel ends up in the end of his life choking himself. Okay, we're on the bottom of the Amud, and we're going to continue in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba, three lines from the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, right in the middle of the line. Kilas Chacham Afilu Al Tanaihi Ba'a. Even if it comes on condition, and the condition was satisfied, still the curse is going to come. How do I know that? Minalan mi Eli. We know this from Eli. Eli, one of the first of the Nevi'im, comes right before Shmuel. So the Kamar lay Eli l'Shmuel. Eli says to Shmuel, Kol yasen li Elokim, v'chol yosif im techached mimene davar. Shmuel knows something about Eli. And specifically, the behavior of Eli's sons. Eli's sons did not behave well. They committed adultery, but the Gemara tells us that it wasn't exactly like that. Okay, let's just leave it at the Eli's sons behaved inappropriately, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to curse Eli and his whole family. Specifically, they were not going to live long lives, right? Eli says to Shmuel, now Shmuel knows all this. Eli says to Shmuel, if you don't tell me what you know about me, all the things that are going to happen to me are going to happen to you. Right? That's Pshat the Pasuk. Right? Ko yasen lecha Elokim v'cho yosif im techachem imeni davar. If you withhold anything from me, all the curses that are going to that are destined for me are going to go on you. That's what Eli says to Shmuel. Shmuel ended up telling Eli exactly what Shmuel knew. The Alpha God and Shmuel tells Eli, nevertheless, Shmuel's sons also did not go in the way. So you see over there that it was a klala al tanai. It was a conditional klala, and Shmuel did exactly what he was supposed to do, but still Shmuel got the curse as well. Next, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, we're on the top of the next Amud. Nidui al Tanai, being placed in Cherem, even if it's conditional, Sarach Afara still needs, Afara still needs to be released. For example, Minal Mi Yehuda. So the example over here is Yehuda. Dechsiv Him Lo, Hevi Yosiv Eilecha. Yehuda says to his father, if I don't return Binyamin to you, so I'm going to be forever, right, expelled, forever excommunicated. He doesn't use the word Echerim, he doesn't use the word excommunication, but the idea is, the Chatasi, I'm going to be a sinner to you for all these days, right? And that is what Yehuda says. Yaakov agrees. Yaakov sends Binyamin with Yehuda, and now Yehuda on his, with his arevus, with his guarantor, takes custodian and responsibility for Binyamin. And yet what happens? Nevertheless, Yaakov needed to release Yehuda from his chirim, from his excommunication. Even though the point the Gemara is making is that it was nidu al tanai. Meaning Yaakov was only going to put Yehuda in excommunication if he didn't bring Binyamin back, right? To a certain degree, it didn't play out exactly this way. He did take care of Binyamin, right? It's true he didn't bring Binyamin back. Yaakov ended up going down to Mitzrayim, but he did take care of Binyamin. But still, we're going to see now through drashas that there needed to be a release of Yehuda from his nidui, from his cherem. Ka'osa mem shana shal Yisrael b'midbar atzmos tov shal Yehuda hayom megugalim. For the 40 years, why does it say 40?
So they took the bones of him, no?
For just 40? Okay, fine. I'm sorry. We're not talking about Egypt. I'm sorry. We're not talking about Egypt. We're talking about the Midbar. I'm sorry. I just had a mental. The bones are rolling in the Aron. Okay, so talk about a nice nightmare. So the bones of Yehuda were rolling in the kever. Remember, they took the bones of the Shvatim out with them. In the Chumash, we only know about the bones of Yosef, Atzmas Yosef. But the Gemara assumes that the bones of all the Shvatim came out together with them. And they prayed for Rachmanas, Amalafan Ribbono Shel Olam. Mi garen l'Reuven sheyodeh Yehuda. V'zos Yehuda, Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. Okay, Al Ivrei L'Shafa. So the first thing that Moshe petitioned is that I want the bones to calm down. Right, the bones rolling in the grave is a sign, it's a siman, that Yehuda is right not with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the first thing that he asked is that the bones go and get back into place. And his argument to Hashem is, look, Reuven admitted his mistake because of Yehuda's admission of his mistake. And so since you see that Yehuda was a good influence, a positive influence on Reuven, so for that alone, Yehuda should merit that his bones be put back in place. Tosos tries to string together the events, meaning we know what Reuven did wrong, right? He mixed the beds around between his father's wives, right? According to the simple pshat in the pasuk, he actually slept with his stepmother. But again, right, now is not a time to discuss what exactly the sin was. Reuven did wrong, right? That we know. And Reuven admitted his mistake. Now, nowhere in Chumash do we find Reuven making an admission of his mistake. The Gemara here is assuming and telling us and teaching us that Reuven admitted his mistake once he saw Yehuda admit his mistake. He also made a mistake. He slept with a prostitute who wasn't a prostitute. It really was his daughter-in-law. Impregnated her. Assumed that she was impregnated by somebody else, not him. Was ready to burn her. So then he said, "Stot kamimeni." So we know that Yehuda admitted his mistake. The Gemara here is teaching us that when Reuven saw that, he also admitted his mistake. So Tosfos over here points out that just based on the Midrashim that we know, it doesn't seem to be that way. Look at the second Tosfos on the Amud. We know midrashically that Reuven took the time during Mechiras Yosef, which is before the whole Yehuda episode, and Mechiras Yosef, Reuven goes and starts doing tshuva for the incident with Bilhah. So Vizaya Kuramaisa de Yehuda. And so Tosfos says, so structurally speaking, chronologically speaking, it doesn't work out, because this is taking place before Yehuda even makes his mistake, forget about even admitting to his own mistake. And Tosfos says, okay, the thoughts of tshuva maybe were during Mechiras Yosef, but the actual admission to his wrongdoing, that didn't come till after he saw Yehuda do it. Fine. So, right, Tosfos is just trying to put everything together, the Gemara and the Midrashim, fine. Back to the Gemara. Okay, now, back to Yehuda. So Yehuda's in this cherem, he's in this excommunication, because even though he pretty much did what he was supposed to do, but still, Yaakov put him in cherem, even though it was al Tanai. And the whole point the Gemara's making is that being put in cherem al Tanai is still going to be a cherem. Yehuda didn't gain acceptance into the yeshiva derakia. Okay? The El Amot Vienu. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to quote Psukim from Parshas Vayechi, and through the Psukim we're going to show how he gained one stage after another of acceptance into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that his nidui was released. Okay. El Amot Vienu, he should go into his nation. And the Gemara understands now this to mean that he should gain acceptance into the yeshiva shomala. Okay, good. Now he got acceptance into the yeshiva. He had no idea what was going on over there. Like, they were learning over there in the yeshiva shamala, and he just didn't get it. Behadi Rabbanan, Yadav Rav Lo. So he was given hands, meaning he was given the capability, the ability to shakla v'tarya, to debate and discuss in the yeshiva shamala. Lohava lefruke kushya, still. Now he knew how to debate, but he didn't know how to answer questions up there in the yeshiva shomala. The ezer mitzarav tiyeh, he was literally, his loins were girded. It means that then he was even further fortified to answer the questions of the yeshiva shomala. Okay, fine. So we get again, the whole point over here is that the nidui al chayr, I'm sorry, nidui al tanai still is a nidui. Okay, next, one last question. Tashma, sorry, let me first ask the question. Ibailu. Bemisas kulanu chozer odilma bemisas achad mehem. In our Mishnah, we talked about three Kohen Gadols. Now, the Gemara over here asks what seems to be a very odd question. Do you need the death of all three of these Kohen Gadols, or do you need only the death of one of them? Now, why do I say it's a strange question? Because of the three Kohen Gadols, two of them don't live in the same generation, right? In other words, we have the Kohen Gadol Meshuch Memeshcha, Shemin HaMeshcha, and we have the Kohen Gadol who's Meruba Begadim. The whole point is that there was a point historically where there was a Kohen Gadol who was anointed with oil because there was oil, and there was a Kohen Gadol later historically who didn't have the Shemin HaMeshcha, who then was given Meruba Begadim. And the Gemara over here is like adopting the following question. Maybe you need the death of all three. All three of them don't live together, right? The substitute Kohen Gadol, that I hear, because the substitute Kohen Gadol lives at the same time as the regular Kohen Gadol. But it's just an odd question.
But weren't there four? I couldn't be referring to the three that make sense. There was the substitute guy that was
the
substitute anymore.
Right.
There's the Meshuach Mochana. And then there's Meruba Megadim, and there's the Shemin HaMeshcha. There were four. So maybe it's either Meruba Megadim, or I always thought that Meruba Megadim and Shemin HaMeshcha are either or.
And you count them as one.
Because it's a Meshuach Mochana.
Okay, it could be. Odilma b'misas echad mehem, or to just need the death of one of them. Tashma nigmar dinah b'lo kohen gadol, eino yotze misham la'olam. If there's no Kohen Gadol, which is what we're about to learn in the next Mishnah, so eino yotze misham la'olam, he's stuck in exile forever. Okay, we'll learn this Mishnah in just a moment, but the Gemara right now is just focusing on one aspect. Imisa li'ader. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You have now three possible candidates of Kohen Gadol. The one anointed with oil, the one who was wearing the extra begadim, and the substitute. So the Gemara says, you mean to tell me none of them were alive? Hard to imagine. But the Gemara says bedahanach. So the imis alehader bedahanach bedalek. I'm sorry, bedahanach bedaleka. So the Gemara says, okay, but maybe we're talking about a case where literally none, there was no Kohen Gadol, not the original, not the substitute, not the Meruba Begadim, and according to Rav Yehuda, not the Meshuch Mechama. There was no Kohen Gadol at all in place, and that's what the next Mishnah is talking about.
All
right.
Meaning they all have to die.
Meaning they no, but none of them, right? None of them were alive at the time of his Gemara Din.
Would any of the Kohen Gadol, so to speak, have a greater influence? In other words, their tfilos may be more significant.
Right. I mean, that's the basic idea that they're gonna.
It's like the guy who
right. Before, right. I mean, they all have that responsibility of praying for him. Okay. We start now the next Mishnah. And Mishnig Mardino Meis Kohen Gadol Harizeh Enogola. Okay, he had a Gemar Din. Okay, the man killed. The man killed the Shogeg, as we learned in the previous Mishnah. They all go to court. Everyone goes to court because the court has to establish: was it Mazi? Was it Shogeg? Or maybe it was nothing. It was none of the above. Maybe it was Onis, and he goes free. So he goes to court. The court says you're a Ritzech B'Shogeg. You are now need to go back to Galus. You need to go to exile. Right there and then. So they get a text message, Kohen Gadol dies. Okay. So the Kohen Gadol dies. So now he has not spent 1 minute of his life in exile. Okay, not 1 minute after the Gemar Din. Says the Mishnah, Eino Gola. Okay, so he doesn't have to go into exile. The Misa of the Kohen Gadol is what provides for him the necessary kapara. He's off. He can go home now. What if the Kohen Gadol dies while he's in court? Then, after the court appearance, during the court appearance, Kohen Gadol dies. They immediately replace him with a new Kohen Gadol. All this while the court is in session. After the inauguration of the new Kohen Gadol, now he has his Gemar Din. He is now connected to that new Kohen Gadol, right? It's like Lahavdil. It's like a new president who's like, you know, left with all the problems of the old president, right? And so, and how long can you blame the old president for the problems of the new president? I know that's always becomes a discussion, right? But here also, so you have this new Kohen Gadol who is now linked with this guy who, truth of the matter is, did the Ritzicha before he was before his inauguration. Okay, we'll discuss that later in the Gemara. Huh?
They connect
at sentencing.
What about actually mortally wounding the Shogeg, the Kohen Gadol?
Well, hold on. We'll get to that. Yeah. Nigmar Dina below Kohen Gadol. But then we get to the following case. What if there's a Gemar Din with no Kohen Gadol? Now we just talked about this because that was the last question in the previous Gemara. What if there's no Kohen Gadol during Gemar Din? All right, the halach is going to be, as we'll see in just a moment, he's stuck in exile forever because he's not linked to any Kohen Gadol. So now the halach is he's going to go into Galus and he's got nothing to release him. Right? So that's unfortunate, obviously.
But doesn't it give linkage with the next Kohen Gadol that gets appointed?
Only the link only occurs at Gemar Din. So now, right? So he's got nothing to link to. Vahare Kohen Gadol, or if you kill a Kohen Gadol, or Kohen Gadol Shaharag, or let's say a Kohen Gadol kills. Again, we're talking about Bishogeg, so it's not bizarre. Eino Yotze Misham La'olam. He does not get released from exile. He goes into exile. He's got no Kohen Gadol to link to. And as a result of that, he's done and gone forever. Now, once in exile, you are in exile. You're in Galus. You cannot go out. There's no furloughs when you're in Galus. You're there and you're there for, if you're linked to a Kohen, till the death of the Kohen. And if you're not linked to a Kohen Gadol, you're there forever. Look how big a chiddush this is. You can't even go out for Eidus Nefashos. That means somebody, right, basically needs to try somebody. Capital crime, right? So you can't give testimony. You can't go out and you can't give testimony. Jewish people need you. Let's say, I'm going to make this as dramatic as possible because the Mishnah makes this point. Let's say the entire Jewish people need you. Let's say you're like Yoav ben Tzruya, the general Yoav ben Tzruya. And right now we need a general. And we need to go out on a war campaign. And we really need you. No. There is no excusing you from Galus. You're there, and once you're there, you're always there. Lo'olam shenem asher nashama shamtei diraso shamtei misaso shamtei kvuraso. You're there. You're there until death, or until the death of the Kohen Gadol, if you're linked to a Kohen Gadol.
I'm surprised I didn't use the example of attending to a dead body that needs to be buried. That's a very...
Yeah, but if you're in the Ir Miklat, where are you going to find the Meis Mitzvah? You're there. You're in the Ir...
Outside Mitzvah.
I understand that, but how did you find the Meis Mitzvah? You're in the Ir Miklat. How did you get out there to find it?
Hear about it.
Oh, you hear about it. Okay, so that's it's going to be someone else's problem. It's not, you can't do it.
But aren't there two clashing things here? On the one hand, you can't go out. On the other hand, you're not allowed to be Kovei Sheidusa. You're not allowed to...
Correct. And it's Kovei Sheidusa is a Chiddush. I grant you. The bigger Chiddush is even when Jewish life needs you, meaning you could make the very simple argument. What do you mean, pikuach nefesh? Right? Other Jews need me right now, and you still don't have. You do not have a right to leave. It could very well be. Right? He talks about this over here. It could very well be that the overarching svara in terms of why you can't leave is because the moment you step foot out of the Ir Miklat, your life is in jeopardy. Right. So. It could be that as much as other people need you, it's your own pikuach nefesh that really keeps you imprisoned in the Ir Miklat. Kishem Shair.
You can do the Eidus, they can bring the case there.
Yeah, I was thinking about that also, right? Or in other words, if it's dismissive, right? It's a capital crime. You can't move the court, the whole court, back to the Ir Miklat. It seems you could, right? Okay.
The Gol HaDam,
right? But look, as long as you're in the Ir Miklat, you're safe. Right, we did talk earlier about the fact that even though you're technically safe, he still hates you. Right, to have him in the Ir Miklat with you is never just a good, never good idea.
Is there a substitute for what if the Gol HaDam died? Is there a substitute for him that takes over him?
If what if the
Gol HaDam dies?
So we'll talk. The Gemara is so funny. We talk so much about the Gol HaDam. The Gemara never tells us who can qualify as a Gol HaDam. It's so interesting. Like second cousin, third cousin, right? I just had my second cousin over for the bar mitzvah. Like he's a Gol HaDam, you know.
Or if it's like a
he's a what's it called? He's a tank commander. I wouldn't mind if he'd be a Gol HaDam, but I'm saying he'd make a good Gol HaDam. But I'm saying, but like,
if the killers are general, like here, and anybody else, anything go out with them, weekend effects, if it's just like whatever.
Right, I'm saying, right. I don't know.
Pragmatic component.
I don't know. Kishim sheir kolatas kach tchumo kolait. Okay, not only is the city going to provide refuge for you, the tchum, the 2,000 amas, which we normally assume just as a Shabbos halacha, right? 2,000 amas outside the city. You can walk 2,000 amas outside the city on Shabbos, right? And you're still considered within the city. That also provides protection for the Ir Miklat as well. So we're taking a Shabbos halacha and we are extending it to the halachas of the Klita, the Ir Miklat. Okay, now, you take a stroll. You're outside of the city. You now go outside of Tchum. You're no longer under the protection of the Ir Miklat. And now what? Says the Mishnah, the Gol HaDam has the right to kill you. So now we are going to express this in a very simple way. Is there a mitzvah for him to kill you? Or is it just a license to kill you? Okay? Machlokas. So, Umat Gol HaDam, Rabbi Yosef Glila Omer, mitzvah biad Gol HaDam, Rishus biad Kol HaDam. The Gol HaDam has a mitzvah to do so, and that's in of itself interesting. What is equally interesting to me is that, what about other people? They have license to kill you. They don't, it's not a mitzvah for them to do so, but they have license to kill you. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rishus biyad Gol HaDam, there is permission for the Gol HaDam, meaning the Gol HaDam, there's no mitzvah for him to kill you. It's just a reshus, it's just optional. If he wants to, he can kill you. And then, what about everybody else? So, our Mishnah reads, Chayav and Alav. Our reading of the Mishnah tells us that nobody else, according to Rabbi Kiva, nobody else has the right to kill you. In fact, if they do, they're murderers. And they're going to be tried like a capital crime. Chayav and Alav. That's our reading of the Mishnah. The Rambam did not have this reading of the Mishnah. If you look over there with the Mishnah, you see that Aleph in the brackets? That Aleph in the brackets takes you to the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, the Hagos Agra, so he always cites emendations of the Gemara, makes corrections on the Gemara, here on the Mishnah, and if you read the Gra, he writes, V'chol Adam Ein Mechayven. That's a major difference. What we have in our Mishnah is Chayav and Alav. What the Gaon has is Ein Chayav and Alav. The Rambam has that as well. How do I know the Rambam has that? Because the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva, and the Rambam writes, I don't have the Rambam in front of me right now, and the Rambam writes that for the relatives, they have the right to kill you, not a mitzvah, and for everybody else, if they kill you, they're not murderers.
They're not allowed to kill you.
Right, correct. That's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi. Okay?
Between the relatives and everybody else.
And every right. For the relatives, they have a right to kill you, and they're not, it's not wrong for them to kill you. For everybody else, it's just not a capital crime. It's not the right act, but it's not a capital crime. Okay.
They're not chayav.
The Gemara starts off, my time amar abayi kavachomer. Okay. We are going back now to the first part of the Mishnah, right? The Gemara always operates this way, where we dissect the Mishnah step by step. We start from the beginning of the Mishnah, and we work our way through the Mishnah. So, the first part of the Mishnah tells us that you're linked to the Kohen Gadol at Gemar Din. My time amar abayi kavachomer ma misha gala kvar yatsa. So the Gemara offers a kal v'chomer to help us understand that. And that is, if the death of the Kohen Gadol frees you when you're in exile, the death of the Kohen Gadol should free you even before you go to exile. Now if you think about this kal v'chomer, you think to yourself, it's not so good. Not such a good kal v'chomer. Hai de gal v'dilma, hai de gala ichaper lei, hai de lo gala lo... lo midi galos kamecha peres. Sorry, hide the low galo low. So the Gemara says, if you think about the kal v'chomer, it may not be true, because maybe exile is part of the kapara process. So maybe the idea is it's a combination. I'll go to exile and the death of the Kohen Gadol. Maybe the two factors in one plus the other equals I can go free. But if all I had was just the death of the Kohen Gadol, but I experienced no galus, maybe that in of itself is not enough. So the Gemara is questioning the kal v'chomer. So the Gemara gives us the following yesod. It's a principle. Mi di galus ka mechaperes, mi se kohen hu de mechapra. So the Gemara gives us an unbelievable yesod. Exile is not a kapara. Going to exile is not part of the kapara process. The real kapara is achieved through the death of the Kohen Gadol. Period. That's it. It just happens to be that you got to wait. You got to sit and wait it out. So where are you going to go? Once, if you're outside the Eir Miklat, you're fair game. You don't want to be fair game, so you got to go to the Eir Miklat. But interestingly enough, the Gemara tells us that the Eir Miklat is not part of the Kapara process. Okay. Im achlo nigmar dino minan emilia maravkana amakra. Now, if you read the pasuk, it sounds like you sit there until the death of the Kohen Gadol, who you anointed with the anointing oil. And the Gemara points out that just can't be the pshat in the pasuk. You didn't anoint him with the anointing oil. Now, by the way, there's just a simpler way to read the pasuk. You could read the pasuk Hashem Hashachar, so he was anointed. But in all fairness, if that's really the pshat in the pasuk, it should have said Asher Nimshach, right? Asher Mashach is active. You did the Mashiach, but of course you didn't do it. So it was somebody who was anointed while he was being tried. Fine. Now the Gemara asks the fundamental question, my Havel and my Eved. Now wait a second. This poor Kohen Gadol, right? He's inaugurated as the Kohen Gadol. And meanwhile, the Ritzich already took place. And this guy now is sitting in court. What did you expect the Kohen Gadol to do? How come we're linking this Kohen Gadol who was just inaugurated to this guy who's in the middle of his trial? How can you link the two? How can you tell me that the Kohen Gadol is responsible now for this guy's actions? He wasn't the Kohen Gadol when he did his action. So the Gemara says, "Hayil levakish rachamim shigmar dino l'tzchus v'lo bikesh," because even though he wasn't the Kohen Gadol for the action, but still there's a din going on, and then you don't know how it's going to end. You don't know how the court case is going to end. What the Kohen Gadol should have prayed for is that the Gemara didn't end with him being exonerated with an acquittal. Kohen Gadol didn't pray for that, or I guess didn't pray hard enough, right? Depending on how you want to say it. And consequently, the Kohen Gadol now is linked to this guy. Okay. Imad, sorry, no. Shigmar dino l'tzchus v'lo bikesh. Amar Abaye. Na'aktina nigmar dino omeis v'alichin etzas ma'asav l'sham. Okay. We have the following tradition. Whenever you see the word Nakinan in the Gemara, it means it's a tradition. You could call it Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Over here, I'm not sure how to say it, but it's a tradition that we have, that if you have a Gemar Din, and he dies, okay? And there's a Kohen Gadol, and he's linked to a Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah tells us, Molichin es atzmosav l'sham. So you take his bones, and you bring him to the Ir Miklat. Now again, we're going to not take the pasuk at its superficial value. He dwells in the land. The Gemara now understands in the land. Well, what does that mean? You dwell in the land. The Gemara understands yeshiva shi ba'aretz avyamazik vura. So you're buried in the Yermiklat, and your bones sit there and wait until the death of the Kohen Gadol. Tana. If he dies before the death of the Kohen Gadol, so his bones are taken to Kivri Avosav. Fine. Nigmar dino v'naseh Kohen Gadol ben Grusha ben Chalutza. Okay, what about the following? What if he has a Gemar Din? There is a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is in place. And then front page of the newspaper, right? I'm just trying to think, yeah, which paper? Well, front page of the paper, scandal, Kohen Gadol is a Ben Grusha, right, son of a divorcee. Or Kohen Gadol is a Ben Chalutza. And now it turns out that this is not a Kohen Gadol. So immediately, obviously, he steps down from his office. Okay? Now, are you linked to this Kohen Gadol, who it turns out was not a Kohen Gadol, subject to a debate in the Gemara? So, now it's going to be
still one of the four, the fact that he was temporarily.
Yeah, but he turns out though that he was never fit; he was never qualified, right? So, Harvei Omer Zekvur Nigmar Dino Nasa Kohen Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Pliki Bar Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Chanamar Mesa Kohuna VeChanamar Barla Kohuna. So there are two ways to how to say when he stepped down from office. Is it like he died? Or it like his kahuna was nullified? So it's a machlokus between the Amarayim, how to view his kahunaship. And the difference is huge. If we're saying that the Kohen died, so now this guy can get out because the Kohen Gadol died. Even though he didn't physically die, but still now, His disqualifying trait basically now has him stepping down from office. It's like he died. So his death now, quote unquote, is going to allow the exiled killer to go free. If, however, you say not that he died, but if, however, you say that Bala Kahuna, it means that he was not a Kohen Gadol ever. So that means that when you're Gemar Din, you didn't have a Kohen Gadol. And that means that you're there and stuck forever. It's a huge difference.
Aren't there two other Kohen Gadol that he's linked with?
So let's assume in this discussion there's no other Kohen Gadol. Okay, let's just assume. You're right. Let's assume for this discussion there's no other Kohen Gadol around. So, Balakuna, Lema. Now, it would seem that we could take this Machlokas Tanayim. Sorry. machlokas amarayim and link it with a machlokas tanaim. Lema bepluta the Rabbi Lazar of Yeshua kamifugi did not. Haya omed o makrav agabe mizbech v'nodeshu ben grusha ben chalutza. Similar situation. He's doing the avoda. Right? Kohen, just a regular Kohen doing the avoda. And then he gets word, somebody comes and whispers in his ear, your mother was a divorcee. Okay. You don't want to hear anything about your mother. And for a Kohen who's doing the avoda, you certainly don't want to hear that. Right? And ben grusha ben chalutza. Rabbi Lazar Omer, kol karbana sheikri psulin. Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that not only what he did today is no good, retroactively, everything that he's done up until this point in time is no good. So if you gave your carbon to this coin and you know that this coin did your carbon a month ago, 2 months ago, no good. No good, doesn't count.
So if somebody gave this guy truma, that's an additional truma?
I don't know. The truma is a tough one. It's a good question. Right now, let's just deal with the basic structure of the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua says that no, it's fine. All the kabbanas that he brought up until this point in time are going to be accepted. Fine. Mandama mesa k'Rabbi Yeshua, mandama bala k'Rabbi Lazar. Now it seems to be that we could take the machlokas amarayim and just like a nice puzzle, piece them together right into the machlokas tanayim. Seems to be that the two machlokasim go hand in hand. Are we saying from this point forward, or are we going back retroactively? So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Right? This type of Gemara structure happens all the time. Where you have a machlokas amarayim, we want to fit it into a machlokas tanayim, and the amarayim are always uncomfortable with that. Because, why? Because when you're an amora, you do not want to be pigeonholed. You don't want to be pigeonholed into one Tana's position. Especially, by the way, if like Rabbi Eliezer. Right, it's a great example. Because halacha almost never follows Rabbi Eliezer. So you don't want to be pigeonholed into that position. So here, Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer kulam la pligi. So look, in Rabbi Eliezer's view, that all the kabbanos retroactively are no good, certainly bat la kahuna. There's no other way to say it. But ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Yoshua. But even within Rabbi Yoshua, mandam amesek Rabbi Yoshua. Look, the one who says that the Kohen Gadol died, meaning his disqualification is the death of the Kohen Gadol. Up until this point in time, he was the Kohen Gadol, but from this point forward, he's not the Kohen Gadol anymore. So that certainly sounds like Rabbi Yoshua. But what the other position will tell you, mandam a batla, even if you hold batla, I could still subscribe to Rabbi Yoshua. Why? Because when it comes to avoda, afilu chalalim shabal, even if he was a chalal, meaning even if the avoda was profaned, still at the time he didn't know he was a disqualified kohen, he did it, it's accepted. We're not saying that he was good up until this point in time, and now from this point in time he's no good. No, we're saying that he's a ben grusha ben chalutza, and we're saying that he was a ben grusha ben chalutza, and still by avoda it could work, it could still work. But vis-a-vis other halachas like our halacha about the linking of the kohen gadol to the roseach, maybe he's not going to be considered a kohen gadol at the time. Okay, so we can dissect or separate the machlokas tanaim and the machlokas amarayim.
But why is that?
Right. In other words, by karbanos, it's still ratzoi, even though at the time he wasn't qualified. Just it's an exception. For sure, no, but that ufol yadav tirtzeh is only going on the kohanim. Right, ula levi amar.
Under the heading of
levi. Right. Correct.
So why
understood.
Why would Chazal want to learn it? Why would they think that?
I don't know. But that's the assumption the Gemara is making, is that for avoda, we know it's batla, but we're ready to relax the rules by avoda. Based on this pasuk, I don't know if it's based on the pasuk, but the pasuk is kind of like that showing us.
They thought it and they put it in.
Right. Right.
You said if there was no Kohen Gadol, if it turned out that there really wasn't a Kohen Gadol, that you would have to remove the Golas forever.
Right.
Doesn't his placement in Golas necessitate the idea that there is a Kohen Gadol to die to release him?
No.
Is that not how the
No. The Kohen Gadol is a release. But up until that point in time, though, until he's released, he's
not a required ingredient in the process.
No. You're making a sound argument, but the answer is no.
So how does he get this kapara?
His own death will be his kapara. Nigmar Dino Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shtei Tayos Tal Yoav Ba'oso Shah. We did mention Yoav Ben Tzruya, and the Gemara does not want to lose an opportunity to talk about Yoav Ben Tzruya. Yoav, over the course of his life, killed two people. He killed Avner Ben Ner, and he killed Amasa. Okay? And both of those, there were reasons why he did it. By Avner Ben Ner, Avner Ben Ner ended up killing Yoav's brother, Asael, hit him in the fifth rib. Okay, so, and Shlomo upon his death David upon his death comes over, brings Shlomo over, and says, Shlomo, look, you're a smart kid. Right? I promised I never would kill Yoav. Okay? And I'm going to keep my promise. Okay? But Shlomo, you're a smart boy. Okay? And it's like, no exaggeration, no dramatization, that's really how the Pesukim go. Okay, one of the first parakim in Sefer Melachim, if not the first parak. So, second parak. So, and Shlomo now is going to chase Yoav down. Now, by the way, it wasn't Shlomo; he sent Benayahu, right? So Shlomo sends now Benayahu to go chase Yoav down in order to kill him. Yoav now being chased, so what does he do? He runs to Nir Miklat. Now, he doesn't run exactly to a near Miklat. He goes to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, remember, there was no Beis HaMikdash yet. Right? This is the first years of Shlomo's reign, so there's no Beis HaMikdash yet. So he goes over to the Mizbeach. Which Mizbeach does he go to? There is a discussion. Just the Shiloh didn't exist at the time. Okay, not for now. He goes to Mizbeach, and he clutches the Mizbeach, and he holds to the Mizbeach. And so what they do is they just simply pluck Yoav off the Mizbeach. Okay, now, Vayanas Yoav al Ol Hashem v'yechazek b'karnos ha-Mizbeach. He made two mistakes. This is what Rav is teaching us. Shtei tayos ta Yoav. Number one, Tosheinu kolet ela gago v'huta fas b'karnosav. Mistake number one. He grabbed the horns of the Mizbeach, right? We all know that the Mizbeach has four horns. They're not horns. They're just simply corners, protrusions that come out in the four corners. So he clutched it, he grabbed it. Okay. That wasn't enough. He needs to be on the Mizbeach. Rashi quotes the Pasuk, Me'im Mizbechi tekachen olamus, im Mizbechi, velo al Mizbechi. If you're on the Mizbeach, you actually have a little bit of sanctuary. Okay? That's number one. Number two, Toshenu Kole El Mizbech Beis Olamim V'u Tafas Mizbech Shel Shiloh. Another mistake that he made. He was only clutching on to the Mizbech of Shiloh, and that does not provide him the necessary sanctuary. He needs to be holding the Mizbech of the Beis Olamim, which, oh, by the way, didn't exist at that time. Okay, so that's another technical problem. Another thing, says Abaye, is that this protection is only granted to a Kohen on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash while he's doing the Avodah. And I guess the idea is let him finish, right? Let him finish doing the Avodah, and then we'll take him off, and then we'll kill him. So, and he's not a Kohen. So, for three fundamental reasons, we just simply plucked him right from the Mizbeach. Amar Shlakish Shal Shayos Asish Sar Shal Rami Latos. Now we go into deep Agadata. The Gemara tells us that the Sar Shal Rami, the ministering angel.
What is the source that the Mizbeach provides sanctuary?
Me'im Mizbechi Tekachen Olamos. The Torah says that that if somebody needs to be put to death, you take him from the Mizbech. Rashi quotes the Gemara, I don't know where the Gemara is. Rashi quotes, Me'im Mizbechi v'lo me'al Mizbechi. Okay, it's a drasha. So now we go into deep Agadata. The Sarshal Romi, the ministering angel of the Romans, he also will seek sanctuary in the Mizbech, through the Mizbech. Dichsiv mi zebami Edom, chamutz begadim mi batzra. And he goes to Edom, coming from Edom. Edom always is associated with Rome. Chamutz begadim, his clothing is dirty. And he goes to the town of Batzra, Choad. She'eno kolat ela betzer v'hugol ela batzra. First of all, right, when he went to MapQuest and he looked for where can I find the Ir Miklat, so he typed in the wrong location. He typed in Batzra, and it's not Batzra, it's Betzer. Right? Betzer, by the way, you remember, we just did this a couple of days ago, one of the three cities on the Aver HaYarden that provide Klita, that provide protection. And he typed in Batzra. So that's number one. Toa she'enu kolatas ela shogeg v'hu mezid. Another mistake that he made is that Ir Miklat only provides protection for the shogeg, and he's a mezid, intentionally killing Jews. And number three, ayato she'enu kolatas ela adam v'hu malach. And another mistake that he made is that the Ir Miklat only provides protection for humans, not for ministering angels. Okay. For further elaboration on this Gemara, go somewhere else. All right, I'm not your guy. So, who amar or safar? Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba. Ari mikla lo nasna lekvura. Dechsevu megreshem yule vehamtam lechusham lechol chayasam lechaim nino v'lo lekvura. Okay. Ir Miklat is not for burial, right? There are no cemeteries in the Ir Miklat. You're not supposed to be buried in the Ir Miklat. Immediately, the Gemara jumps and challenges. Meisvei, shama shamte diraso shamte misaso shamte kuraso. So he's going to be buried over there. We just learned that in our Mishnah. The Gemara says he's an exception to the rule, meaning that for the inhabitants of the Ir Miklat, your Levim and anyone else who wants to live in the Ir Miklat, I don't know why somebody else other than Levim would want to live in the Ir Miklat. But Lu Yitzu, you live in an Ir Miklat, you can't set up a cemetery over there. You have to get buried somewhere else. The Rotzeach, he has a special dispensation. He is buried in the Ir Miklat because the Torah says so. Sham, based on the Pasuk Sham. But everybody else has to get buried somewhere else. Let's do one more and we'll stop for this morning. Keshem She'ir Kolatas V'Reminu. V'yasha Ba'ba V'lo B'tchuma. The Gemara points out that not the Tchum, right? Not the Tchum. In our Mishnah we learned, yes, the Tchum is included. Amar Abaye lo kasha, kan liklo kan lador. So the Abaye gives a very simple explanation. Klita, protection, is granted whether you're within the city proper or whether you're within the Tchum. Your residence has to be in the city proper, not in Tchum. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. Lador, tepuk le deino, sade migrash v'lo migrash sade, below migrash, ir below ir migrash. The Mishnah and Erchin teaches us that when you set up your Ir Miklat, you have to zone the city, the sadeh, the field around it, and the migrash. Migrash in modern Hebrew is like a playing field, right? They had a field, an uncultivated field, and each area was zoned for that purpose, and you cannot exchange one for another. So the Gemara says that you can't set up a house outside the city, not because of a pasuk of ba, but simply because it's a migrash versus a sadeh versus the ear. Amar Rav Sheshes Lanitzcha Elon Lemchilas. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what it means? It means that even if you dug underneath the ground and you set up a little city underneath the ground, you can't do it. The borders, the zoning borders, go underneath the ground as well. And so the ear designated as a residential area is designated residential not only for the above ground, but even for the underground as well. When you go out to the sud and you go out to the migrash, you can live there both above ground and even below ground. Okay. And that's the chiddush of Ba. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll continue from the two dots, Machlokas, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi.